Okay, so back to our meeting. You know, the reason we decided to meet today was because there's a lot to do between now and the end of January when we actually do our official appointments for roles on the board. And seeing as I can't do them all myself, we thought we would just go through the tasks ahead of us. And of course, Gail, you're not officially on the board yet, but you will be in January. So if you want to chime in on anything you'd like to be part of in January, I think that would be appropriate. So I think, let's see, a couple things Nathan asked me to go over with you are just an update on all of the information they've been sending you for commissioner training. Those things aren't required, but they're useful. And the required topics will be starting in January when everybody is on the board. So we don't have to do all the training twice, which I appreciate. Let's see. Also, Pam and Nathan have asked if you could each take time to meet with them for just orientation and some documents that you need to sign. And they have a binder for each of you. And then we thought, in the interest of being able to communicate with each other, Pam is going to facilitate a weekly email, just from her end, Nathan's end, things that are going on that they've been working on during the week. Carl's going to be chiming in on that with information, and that we're asking each of you on a Thursday, if you have something you'd like Pam to include in an email she's going to send out to all of us, since we can't email each other really, and to add, you know, hey, I went to the CCC meeting, we talked about this, you know, or if anything you'd like to share as a way of being able to communicate. Correct?
Yeah. So then that email would be sent out,
I think, Friday? So
if I could get them, you know, before end of day on Thursday, then I can have all Friday to work on it and send it out Friday afternoon before I leave.
And that's the week before the meeting.
That would, or is that
every
week?
Every week.
Okay. And okay. Not asking for anything. Okay. Really,
yeah, it won't be a big long.
Technical,
it is just,
or, yeah. Yeah. And yeah. As Carl and I discussed, there are some things that aren't appropriate to share.
Right.
But you know, and those would be shared in a different context.
Right. And our goal is, you know, basically, and I think I've expressed this to several of you, if not all of you, is that it's very collegial here, and please don't feel limited in terms of stopping by, having a cup of coffee, talking, whatever. If we start to get into policy or specific questions, I think it's really important that we have our funnel points, so that if questions come from staff or volunteer responders, they'll come through me and then onto the chair and disseminate it to the board. And Pam, of course, is part of that process as well. And vice versa, if you guys have specific questions or needs that you feel that you want, and we're starting to get into, it's probably best that we go through the chair, then down to me, and then get that and collect that information. Only that sometimes people on staff might feel like, if Trisha, if you were to come in and say, I'm really curious about this, that, and the other thing, and then Kyle comes in the next day and says, no, don't be working on that, we're working on that. It gets confusing for the staff members, and if we have our funnel points, that's great, but please don't feel like you're not welcome here because you are. And you know, check in with responders, check in with staff, said all of that, please. And especially if you have individual questions and need clarification on things, I would hope that you'd come to me. And please, my door is open. You know where to find me. You know my numbers. Call me, and I'm accessible. And I would, you know, say if there's anything, rumors, things that you're hearing through the grapevine, and you need clarification, please check. Thank you.
Yeah, and on that note, you know, you guys are members of the district, and you're welcome in our office too. And we'll give you a door code. You can even use our office supplies. So. It's a big offer from a bureaucrat like me, so.
Yeah, I know Warren's going to miss that printer.
Yes, he will. The printer won't miss Warren, though.
No, it will not.
Okay.
Speak for yourself. I will talk to her.
So we have a lot of committee assignments to take care of, and I figure let's just do this informally as we look through. And we might ask Carl for input or Pam and Nathan for input on a few of these, and they need some explanation. And in fact, Carl and even Warren, you could chime in on this first one, which is the result of a meeting that happened this week, the Off-Island Transport Committee. And this kind of started with, I don't know, the helipad concept and also the flight denials and things. And
sure, I'd be happy to give you some background. So basically, as far as the contract with the hospital, is one of the provisions is that yearly the board can make recommendations for things they'd like to see the hospital do. And this last go-round, one of the things that the board asked the hospital to consider and to look at was a helipad. That has been, there's a lot of background to that. The offer was made by Airlift Northwest in terms of constructing a helipad that was adjacent to the hospital. The commissioner said that's worth exploring, so that was brought forth to PIMC, and it didn't go as smoothly as we had hoped, or the dialogue got a little strained from the beginning, but we're working on that, we're working through that, and a committee has been formed through the hospital, and they kind of changed that instead of just the helipad committee. It's dealing with a bigger issue of off-island transports. So both Chief Collins and myself were invited to that last meeting. Commissioner Schwinge was there because he was part of that original helipad committee that was designed through the PhD. Commissioner Lindstrom was also part of that but couldn't attend, so Commissioner, at the time, Commissioner Appleton filled in for that in that role. Chris Martin from Airlift Northwest was there. Will and Jackie Hamilton from Island Air was in was present. Pam was present. Chuck Prosper was there, who's the new regional director for Peace Health. Marianne Keene was there.
Tom Cable.
Thank you.
And
Tom Cable was there.
The port.
Sheriff Krebs.
Sheriff Krebs and Todd Nicholson from the port.
Right.
And I think that covers most of the players there. And discussions were started about whether or not does it make sense to have a helipad adjacent. How do we deal with the issue of off-island transport? You know, are we talking marine? Are we talking ambulance service, ground ambulance service, reliance on the ferries? Of course, this is there's a lot of myriad questions involved with this. So it's set up as a monthly meeting now, and we'll be moving forward to that. And I do believe that we have room for two hospital board members to be part of that committee as we're moving forward and exploring the options available to us.
Do you want to add anything to that?
Yes, the scope of the committee that's meeting on the first Monday of the next 3 months.
Correct.
Okay.
Has been broadened significantly to look at all types of transports, off island, onto island, mental health issues, judicial issues about what we do with mental health patients and 72-hour holds and bad weather and all of that kind of stuff. And it's also looking at a helipad. I don't think I'm misconstruing the port's position was that their position is going to be about patient safety and flight safety at the airport. The hospital also brought up that they're looking at site review for affordable housing and what effect that would have. Interestingly, not represented at the meeting was the emergency department. from the hospital that does all of this, but I expect their input will come in. This was more of an organizational meeting and setting the scope for work and trying to get some history so that all players at the table have the same history. Also, Josh, of course, was there also, and he'll play an important part of this in integrating with the hospital.
Is anyone interested in Trish?
Mm-hmm.
Gail? There's two of us.
The meetings are at
what time are they?
In the morning. Mondays at 10, 11. Yeah, it's an hour.
I think it was 10:30.
10:30 to 10:30 to 11:30.
First Monday.
And it's the first Monday of every, the first 3 months for sure.
So Trish has volunteered. I could join you since no one else is leaping at it.
Ten Mondays or
I could potentially. It depends on how many things I end up.
Yeah, there's a lot of other. Yeah, and remember these are temporary, and we can shift these things, and so this can change all at the end of January when we reduce. So
I have a lot of time.
Hey.
Don't say that.
You guys could do that one.
You had a lot of time.
So, I mean, if push comes to shove, you can put my name on something.
Okay.
That puts on.
Oh, you will.
To be fair.
I'm sure you'll be on there.
There's lots more.
Yeah, there's.
I mean, other people work for a living, so.
Well, we're really just addressing the one meeting that will happen in January. So if you're willing to take that on, I would appreciate it. Yes? Okay.
Yes.
We're going to put Trish and Warren on that for. I'm sorry. Everett. I'm confused. You guys were in together yesterday.
The new Warren.
Warren.
Thank you. Yes. I consider that a compliment.
So that's the first.
Trish and Everett for this first one. Check. Okay. The Integration Steering Committee. So there isn't a plan to meet until January.
Yeah, which Monday is that?
That's January.
The first.
January.
Yeah. Okay. You got to remind Everett to come.
I'm going to, the phone number is speed dial, so we know that.
So Nathan and Pam will email you reminders about these things. They're very good about that. So the steering committee has plans to meet early January, and it's usually twice a month, depending on the amount of work. So we can have one member, that's what's agreed on now, and then there could be an alternate that sits in the audience. So,
I nominate Kyle.
Well, I was actually going to say that Annalisa has expressed interest in the past in serving on that committee.
I've been on.
Is that something you're still interested in?
Yeah, I would do it. I'm happy to be the alternate and attend the meetings. And I'm also, I mean, Everett, you've been going to those meetings as well. Mm-hmm. Are you at all interested?
Yeah, certainly. I've been attending them. I found them interesting. So I would be glad to. Glad to go.
Okay, great. So you and I can hash out later who's the alternate and who's the CCC, the next meeting is January 10th. Trish attended one with me about a month ago. I won't be here on January 10th.
What time is that at?
They're usually lunchtime-ish.
I think I've written down 11 to 12:30.
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
And they provide lunch.
Is that a Monday? What day is
that? That's a Friday. It's a Friday the 10th of January.
So I could do that.
It seems to me appropriate if Gail and Trish can do this.
Do you want two of us or just Gail?
They want two.
They want two.
Oh, okay.
Can I make a quick request that we avoid acronyms where we can? I mean, I know I've got the sheets somewhere, but it's also helpful even for members of the public.
Of course, you're correct. So that's the Community Collaboration Committee that meets at PIMC.
PIMC.
So thank you.
So it's the Community Collaboration Committee, and they always meet then at Peace Island?
Yeah, in that conference room.
Okay. I put a little chart in your packets that illustrates their relationship with everyone else. It's one of those very, very complicated community things. So all kinds of arrows, and
thank you.
So Trish and Gail?
Yes. And then the Trauma Counselor, Carl, would you brief everybody on that?
Sure. We meet quarterly. It's the there's two levels. It's the EMS and Trauma Council. It is a there's a county-wide one that meets with all the EMS providers. There are other elements involved as well in terms of the MPD is usually involved with that. It's kind of coordinating the EMS and the and systems. So it's there's representatives from each of the islands, Shaw, Orcas, Lopez, San Juan. They're representative, they're private people, so Airlift Northwest has a seat at the council, Island Air has a seat at the council. There's room for an elected official, and as an elected official, that applies to anybody. It could be somebody from the hospital board, which it was. Commissioner Smith filled that role, but you could be on the cemetery board and be an elected person and fill that role on the county, on the trauma council. That then bumps up, there are five counties involved in the north region. And so those positions transfer over to the regional trauma council. It's a little bit different at the regional level. So Commissioner Smith, having filled the elected representative from San Juan County position at the north region, let me know if I'm so far so good. That position stays her regardless of her current status. She was an elected official. She can hold on to that position until that term expires. I don't have the exact information on the length of the term. My understanding from Rebecca is that she intends to resign that position. And once she resigns that position, that becomes open at the regional level. If anybody from the PhD, and it doesn't have to be PhD number one, it could be number two or number three, is interested in filling that position for San Juan County at the North Region, that position would then become open. So, but there is no requirement that a PhD member fills that position.
Mm-hmm. But it has to be an elected official.
It has to be someone who's elected, yes. Does that help? Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Yeah, and
it has to be someone that is sitting. Rebecca wasn't elected, she was appointed. Mm-hmm. It has to be someone that is sitting on a council. If it was elected, then she shouldn't have had the position.
That's a nuance that I'm not aware of.
Well, that's just what we just said. So, I mean, that needs to be checked out.
So I have here, I put in your packets as well. This is an excerpt from the EMS and Trauma Care Council manual that the Department of Health from Washington State publishes. It's just three pages from that lengthy manual. And this second page of that has a chart for what it takes to get appointed to this board. So have fun. But it's probably not something you're going to want to appoint permanently now, because it's a big process that you're not going to get done in a month. Mm-hmm. But you can appoint someone, you know, to start looking into that and figure out what it would take and what, you know, what the board should do and report back. Mm-hmm. And then decide in January. It would be my suggestion.
So we could just take care of the position right now and worry about the regional one later.
Is that...
Sounds like we need to do a little more research.
I think I need to do a little more research. Yeah. Okay. Let me get back to you on that. Just to kind of fill you in, Lady Volk is our representative from San Juan Island. Mm-hmm. The alternate being Weishan Coons. I usually attend the meetings, though I have no voice other than a, much like I have with your meetings, I can provide exposition and background, and they're, you know, more than welcome to hear reports, but I have no vote.
Yeah, and this is a Department of Health thing. Mm-hmm. It's part of how the state manages supervision of EMS provision.
And our county trauma council goes through varying degrees of compliance. There are people who are on top of it, paying attention to it, and then sometimes it backs off, and so it's waxed and waned over the years, where I think we're coming up to speed and trying to you know, make sure that we are doing the job that is required of us.
And it's countywide?
It is countywide.
And when does it meet? How often?
It meets quarterly, and I can't, it's usually on a Thursday, and is it the third?
It's the third Thursday. Second or third Thursday.
And we offset that with the regional one. We try to meet the month before the regional one so that then if members can go and report, you know, to the region. And I can get you the exact
dates. Do you know when the next meeting is?
Yeah, it's this week coming up. It's next week.
Next week.
Yeah.
I think it's the 12th.
That sounds right.
It's the 12th.
Mm, the third Thursday would be the 19th.
So it's the 12th.
What's the second?
And they usually set that schedule at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
Figure out what times that they're going to.
So this is four times a year, but this we just need someone to take care of this meeting in December.
December 20th.
Meeting takers?
A random time we don't know about?
We don't know.
It's
December 12th at 9 a.m.
December 12th, 9 a.m.
Do we know where?
Here.
Well, December 12th. Oh, I'm not going to be here.
I can do it.
Gail will do it. Thank you, Gail. Okay. Next is CID, which, sorry?
Stands for.
Oh.
Yeah.
I keep doing this. So this refers to our ongoing issues with the Attorney General.
It's civil investigative
demand.
Yes, thank you. Or otherwise known as the CID, as some people refer to it too. I'm sorry, I keep doing that. So this is really just a point person to work with our chief. In his communications with our attorney, I mean, as of most recently, we've responded to their last letter, and we're waiting on their response, but there are times when you speak with the attorney, and I personally thought Kyle would be an appropriate person to...
Second that.
And I don't know if we need two people on that, but I feel like between Kyle and Carl, you guys will translate any appropriate information.
I think we can handle that.
That sounds appropriate.
Great. Our next responsibility is finance, which is related to the secretary position, which was the position that I held, which I have expressed that I'm still very interested in being part of, and we had talked about maybe having two people on this particular role. So Wyatt, while I'm temporary chair, I'm happy to still participate in, we meet with Pam and Heather ahead of our monthly meetings to review our financials.
Right now it's 1 o'clock on the Tuesday. Before the meeting on Wednesday, mm-hmm. But it's subject to, we can change the time. It's just we like to have a set time so everybody knows.
Right. And Everett has attended with me. And Trish hasn't quite yet.
Yeah. I got the day wrong. So
we had talked about having like a finance committee with two people, one of whom would be also an officer.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I would be happy to be on the finance committee, but I'd love it if somebody else would join me.
I'd be willing to.
Yes? Thank you. Okay. So we'll make Everett our temporary secretary financial officer.
Okay.
The quality assurance committee. Pam, would you like to talk about this? Is something that you saw coming up more with other
Most of the other hospital districts do have a quality assurance committee. It was something that we're still looking into as to the exact scope of the quality because we don't own, I mean, we don't have a hospital or do that a lot of the quality type work that some of the hospital districts have in their district, but there, it is customary to have a quality assurance committee just looking at the upper level of making sure that things are getting filtered down from the governance part of making sure that things are being looked at. And most of them meet quarterly, but it's still, Carl and I were going to get together to see exactly what the full scope of what our quality assurance committee would look like. And they also, if you have a set quality assurance committee, you meet the executive session guidelines. There's specific guidelines that you can have an executive session under quality assurance to talk about some things that you would patient related or something that would be private. So, but you have to have a designated quality assurance committee to fall into that exclusion. So
it, would it potentially give us more options for executive session if we
it
needed
would.
It?
It would for, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that would be an official, have to be part of an official meeting. So perhaps you have your regular meeting and then at the end, those who are part of the quality control committee dismissed of that. It'd have to be a part of a actual board meeting, but you do have that executive session exclusion, which you wouldn't need to use if you're only designated one or two of you, because then you're not meeting a quorum and you're not breaking the OPMA in any case. Did that just muddy the waters up? Okay.
Got a question about it. Do you know, does the hospital here have something like this, or does Peace Health
have a quality assurance? They have their own.
Yeah. Right, and we do quality assurance at the EMS patient care level with our medical program director and run reviews. Okay. And that happens monthly. So, and that's part of where Pam and I need to figure out exactly what quality assurance at the board level represents. Because what are you looking at? How did that call go?
Mm-hmm. Right.
What did we do better? What went well? It's not that. It's something different, and neither of us are really.
It's like,
it sounds like that's our job generally.
Yeah.
I'm trying to understand what this would add to what we do as commissioners.
Do we need more information?
We need more information,
and then perhaps we can address those.
Yeah, and we have not had time to get together.
Okay, let's table that. That's okay. Next we have the IIHF, which is the Inter-Island Healthcare Foundation. this will play a role with our goals of aging in place and long-term care for our community. There is a meeting on December 9th. So we could do one commissioner right now.
You don't need to go to every meeting that they call. It just would be for meetings that they were having that involved the HRSA planning grant or the things that the district are actually involved in with the grant that you would need to be at the meeting so that the information could be
When is that? What time is that meeting?
December 9th at 11.
And does it involve the HRSA grant, this meeting?
It's likely that it will. It's not set yet, but I will know within a day what they're
so
do.
I'm going to it anyway.
You're going to be there.
Oh,
yeah.
Great. So I'll be in the health department. So
I'd love to go.
Great.
If that works. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. And then we need to talk about our schedule
Sorry, I don't mean to be a stick in the mud, but do you mind passing a motion collectively adopting what you've discussed? Thanks.
Do you feel you've captured it accurately? Do you have it all down?
I have it, but I can review it if you'd like.
I move to accept these temporary appointments.
Second.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Passes unanimously. Thank you. Oh, I know, but he asked me to.
She can, but it's...
I know, you're right.
We'll distribute the copies of Robert's Rules.
Yeah.
In our organization, the chair can definitely make motions. Yeah. It's not an issue.
So we were going to talk about scheduling for meetings, and being that we have a lot to do, having some special meetings. We have people that work during the day, so it's hard to... We can't really change the official time of the regular meeting, if that's correct, unless...
Correct.
We have to do that
at a regular meeting. We have to do that by resolution.
So our December 18th meeting still needs to be at 3.
No, you can change...
No, you can change...
Go ahead, Pam.
You can change the time, but at the meeting, it has to be you vote, and we have to do it by resolution of what the place and the time and when the regular meetings are going to be, because it has to be recorded for the public to know that, you know, it's, you know, this day, this time, this place.
So we can, this next regular meeting on the 18th could be at 5:30.
Right, you can
pass a resolution today.
No, you can go ahead and call the meeting if you don't want to have it at 3, but it's expected right now by resolution and by previous that the meeting is going to be at 3 o'clock. So if you're going to have it at a different time, then you need to vote on when that time is. And then at the meeting, you need to decide... probably in January when Gail gets on the board so you all can vote of what day and time will be best. And then when that happens, then it needs to be have a resolution for it and then sign.
So changing the time on the 18th, you have to do a resolution, which we can't do today, vote on changing it at a special meeting. We have to do that at a regular meeting. So we have to have it at 3 probably on the 18th.
Good.
Because we need to change officially.
Can I just clarify briefly? Sorry.
No,
please.
So you can change by motion any meeting. You can by motion change your December meeting, your January meeting, whatever. It's just that you're basically one-offing it. If you want to change permanently your time and place, you do it by resolution.
Got it. Gotcha.
So, and we cannot adopt a resolution at a special meeting?
You can, but you have to announce that you're going to take action on it beforehand. Mm-hmm. So tonight you did announce that you're going to discuss and take action scheduling for December and January. So you can just do that by motion. And then in January, you guys can pass a resolution permanently changing time and date if you wish.
Great.
Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
do I hear a motion?
I'd like to make a motion that December 18th meeting is at 5:30.
I'll second the motion. Though I've heard that it conflicts with trivia.
Oh,
no. Somebody at the beginning of this meeting did mention
that's
it.
Terrible. Out
in the public.
Is that any of us?
Well, it only depends on if we want to have a trivia team.
We can't do that.
Well, we could with Warren, so somebody could. I could make a 3 o'clock or a 5:30 meeting that day, but it's if we want to change it, it's just...
How about you, Kyle?
And I don't have to
What's
make
good for you?
5:30 is usually better.
Okay.
Half of the work day. And I don't know if it's better for the public, but I like to have the opportunity for people to work during the day to attend if we can. And thank you, by the way, to the staff who are here today.
Later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate it.
It's no problem.
After hours.
You're paying me at triple time. No.
So all in favor of changing our meeting time on December 18th to 5:30?
Aye.
Okay.
So tentative dates for January. We had talked about having a meeting on January 3rd for just a special meeting. Gail will be here.
I will be working that day, so I wouldn't be able to.
You're not able to?
No.
What is it about?
We just thought we should have an extra meeting just because we have a lot of catching up to do. Nothing really specific at this time at all.
We do have some training we want to get done.
We do.
There's OPMA and PRA training. You're all required to get it. We're talking about maybe bringing out the attorney, and he may or may not be able to come on the 3rd, but...
Would the day before work better for people? I know that's the day after the 1st, but...
I would be on island. I have to work the 1st and the 3rd off island, so I won't be here either of those days. So, yeah, Thursday would be fine.
Anyone else? The 2nd?
As long as we didn't need to do anything in advance for it.
Yeah, well, we could do that the week or prior to the holiday.
I can do either.
Works for me.
Okay, we'll change that to the 2nd.
Okay. 5:30?
You know, for special meetings, it's often easiest, although the board can formally call those meetings collectively and vote on it, it's often easiest just to have the chair do it, which is allowed, because then she can change it later if she needs to. You know, and then we just call all of you.
We're trying to save you calling everybody and figuring out when they can be there.
So you can either, thank you. So you can either pencil it in or you can actually vote on it and, you know, set it down.
We're penciling this one in, and then just a reminder that our regular meeting is scheduled for January 22nd.
Okay.
5:30.
So that concludes that portion of our meeting. Thank you, everyone, for stepping up. I appreciate it. Look forward to your recapping email. So we were going to just open up a discussion on integration EMS FHIR, the interlocal agreement between EMS and FHIR. This is discussion only, no action. It's just giving us our first opportunity to do that. The first thing I would like to do is to thank Commissioner Jarman and the FHIR department. Thank you, Chief. At least I personally, appreciate the consideration of the letter that we received last week, the two letters so far, and the trust that we have between our two agencies. And we look forward to continuing to work together in the best interest of our community. So as this board takes the lead on oversight for healthcare for our citizens, and we have fiscal responsibility over our EMS services, and we have a wonderful staff that provides excellent care to our community. Our job is to manage the business of EMS. And so this integration is an important part of that. So I'd like to open up discussion at this time, if anybody has anything to say.
Well, I know that there was some conversation about the fire district chief maybe reading a letter. I don't know if you feel that's necessary at this point, but I'd be happy to hear that if they want to. But I've also read the letter, so I don't know that. Again, I don't know if that's necessary.
We did receive a letter. It was published in the paper. Chief, do you feel the need to say at this time?
Senator Jarman actually asked me to draft something specific for you today so you all received the other letter to reaffirm our commitment to you all. So it's up to you. I can either hand it to you since you don't have open comment during this. I will go with whatever the chair would like. I can give you this or I could read it to you and share a copy. It's up to you as whatever
I'd
you
would. I'd be happy for you to read it and share a copy with
okay.
me.
So thank you, Madam Chair. So Commissioner Superintendent Hutchins and Interim Chief Kutzing, San Juan Island Fire and Rescue's Commission and Leadership Team wanted to take a moment to reiterate our commitment of partnership and collaboration as we move forward with our next steps in providing a comprehensive planned emergency services to our community while assuring stability within our membership. Chairman Jarman apologizes for not being able to attend this meeting due to having a back issue following playing with his grandkids over the holidays. Actually, as a sidebar, he said I would have to carry him in and then we would both have back issues after the meeting. He asked me to assure you all that he speaks for the entire commission when he says that our future is bright and we are looking forward to working together as elected commissioners and leadership. We are concerned, however, where you are receiving some of your information. We understand the concerns surrounding rumors that the fire district is moving forward in signing the administrative ILA and having a special meeting to do so are prominent on your minds. If that were true, we would be concerned as well. We never even considered doing that and wrote two letters to the PhD Commission assuring you of our views and actions. We would encourage you to reach out to Chief Collins or one of us should you ever want to know our thoughts. Chief Collins has been consistent in his words and actions to the full extent of his position in the law, and we expect nothing less of him. We agreed, as commissions, that both Chief Collins and Interim Chief Kutzing could share all information directly with any of the PhD commissioners. Please let us put any perceived erroneous agendas aside and work together for our community. We have the same mission, and that is providing quality, cost-effective emergency services to our community in their time of needs. I wanted to share my thoughts and invite each and any one of you to stop by. I truly have an open door policy. I was and remain appreciative that the commission supported open communication between our commissions and our organization's leadership. This is the only way we have good information and coordination. We have the opportunity to be open with you as elected commissioners and Carl and Pam as we plan the future. I've always been willing and able to share all information with you. All you need to do is ask. Call me anytime, day or night, and I will be sure you have one of my cards that has my cell number on it. In closing, I encourage each and every one of us to not listen to rumors as they hurt the community and our organizations. We are the leaders in the emergency services community, as Madam Chair just mentioned, and we must remain focused on our service to the community. We owe it to our memberships, our community, and each other to stay above the drama and rumors. It isn't about egos or hidden motives. We are all here to serve our community to the best of our abilities. This is a wonderful community with wonderful people. Let's take care of them, as we have all stated is our primary goal, first and foremost. Thanks for allowing me to read that to you, Madam Chair.
Of course.
Thank you, sir.
I guess I'm out of the loop. I hadn't heard those rumors, so it's been a little...
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I'm happy to respond a little bit to that, too. I don't know what rumors he is referring to, but I don't think I've heard any of that.
I'm not sure.
And I very much appreciate the forthright approach that the fire district has taken.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, that goes a long way towards building trust. And, you know, I just, at this time, I would just like to hear from our new board members, our incoming board members.
Thank you.
I've made myself clear about how I feel of this. I feel that the contract is a bit hasty at this time. I think that there's we have a responsibility to provide the best public policy to our community. There are some budgetary issues that I would like to delve into. We need to assess and manage our liabilities. We need to honor our staff in this process. And I'd like to see where town goes with their annexation vote, and we need to hear from the town. That's where I'm at. I'd love to hear from the rest of you. Go ahead, Pat.
Sure. Also, Ed, this is important to have this conversation. I'm not sure how far we want to go tonight or how well prepared we are, actually, to take it too far tonight. But I think it might be helpful just to hear that we're all on the same page, which is that the inter-local agreement was not something that we supported as individual commissioners, with respect, of course, to the people who put in a lot of time and effort into making that happen. It sounds like we're still on that page. I think it's really important, though, that if we're not in support of that, that we make sure we're really clear about what that path forward is and what we each think that that is. And I heard you mention some of that just now, Lisa. So, I don't know, again, I don't know if that's a conversation we have tonight, but I think if we're going to say no to one thing, we definitely need to make sure we say yes to where do we go from here.
Right.
I know one of my thoughts, and I think you heard me express my concern that I didn't perceive a lot of value in that agreement, was that we do find a way to work with the fire district, and maybe it's, if we are going to spend some money, maybe each department putting some money together to hire somebody to help sketch out a path forward, a strategy. I haven't seen something like that. You know, a timeline that would say, here are the steps you need to take. Here are the budgetary steps you need to take. Here are the capital steps you need to take to address the capital that you have here, buildings like this. Here are the steps you need to take to make sure that the employees are all on board. And maybe they are, and maybe they've been briefed really well in this process. I'm not familiar with that. And then here are the steps you need to take to make sure that the public is on board, because ultimately it's going to be their decision, I believe, and whether an integration like that happens. So I think that those are some things I'd like to see. I don't know if we need to have somebody do that. I do think, though, that it would be very useful to have kind of a neutral third party step in and play that role, as opposed to either us as a hospital district or our internal EMS or the fire district, maybe, in terms of moving that forward. Those are my thoughts at this point.
Well, I think one of the things that you had said, Carl, when Commissioner Swingey had asked you, you know, do you absolutely need this ILA to continue doing what you're doing with Chief Collins? And it sounded to me like the bottom line was no, you did not need to have that ILA to continue the process, to continue working on the path forward. And so, you know, that would be nice, but it could be done at this point in time until we, as a board, decide, you know, what we want to put together. So am I to understand that?
I think in terms of that was the reaction is that regardless of where we are in the process, Chief Collins and I are working together toward the stated goal. What I am finding out, and just for clarification, is as we deal with the Department of Health, as the fire department was getting their BLS license in place, as we're dealing with the state auditors, a formalized agreement makes things much cleaner. It is, we have gotten a lot of questions about, like, asking for clarification. Because really, we've got two different goals, benchmarks, in our path toward integration, and a lot of the concerns that I'm hearing from the board in terms of what do we do with capital assets, what do we do with rolling stock, what about the liabilities? Those are basically that's the finish line. We need all those answers in place to actually say yes. We're from San Juan Island EMS and San Juan Island Fire and Rescue to an integrated San Juan Emergency Services, whatever that term or whatever that name, whatever that patch looks like. But we do have some guidelines from our legal counsel. We do have some of those guidelines from best practices and from experience with members who've gone through in the integration and consolidation process before. And what we're finding out as we've been moving forward, especially as we're dealing with auditors and the Department of Health, is having something formalized that gives the permission to start working together, to work out those budget problems, to work out the staffing issues, makes this process much more streamlined and much cleaner. So while we can continue to work without it in place, from a legal standpoint, from a licensing standpoint, from a auditor standpoint, if we have something, and this administrative ILA is more or less the starting blocks, the chocks, well, maybe it's the first relay handoff in the race, that there is value to it, to having something formal so that we can get to that finish line. And as we worked on this first administrative interlocal agreement, the finish line, it, we're getting confused as far as where we are in terms of the beginning, the relay handoff, and the finish line. Issues with the town, all those things, that's the finish line. And we can, the administrative ILA will give us the opportunity to work out those problems that are valid concerns and need to be addressed. But having the formal permission to work together to get it done, I think goes a long way. and I'm not sure.
That's the essential debate, really. It's like the chicken or the egg, and do we want, do you want to throw something together and get moving down, and then deal with things down the road, or do you want, how much do you want in place before you sign up to be together?
Right.
And with the CAG, had some things that want, that needed to get done, to said beforehand, or there needs to be a memorandum of understanding or something else potentially too.
But again, the Citizens Advisory Group was, again, put together looking at the whole finished product, the finish line, again. And those things that, that were brought up by them as concerned citizens and who basically spent a lot of time getting themselves educated were brought forward. It's, again, that's the finish line. We're at a step in the process, and I would hesitate to say that it was thrown together. The interlocal agreement came from the PhD attorney, reviewed by the fire district attorney, and then we all started to hash out previous, current sitting fire commissioners.
Yeah, I don't mean it hasn't been reviewed. Certainly, there's been a lot of work done on that. And I don't throw it out. I don't say that's denying that document even at this point. It's just to me, I think we have to write down all those things that are those concerns and say, where are we with this concern, and does it have to be, where does it fit? Because I think there's a debate about where does it fit. Does it need to happen before the ILA sign? Does it need to happen? Is it okay if it happens after? So I think there's probably some things that that the commissioners would feel happier to have in place before it happens.
Right.
And the public, in fact, would needs to have a little bit more, it seems like, input in some way as well.
Yeah.
And,
I feel like
and
a map,
the eventual finish line.
A map, yes. Yeah. A map. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Seems like
a map. And the eventual finish line is, you know, the basically what the advisory group came up with. And I think in talking with Chuck Deldorf, who chaired that committee, that we know they were quite quick to admit that none of them had been, you know, boots on the ground dealing with the actual operations of these kinds of agencies, and felt that they can express their concerns, they can see the potential difficulties as we come forward, and then let's let the people who are doing the job work out the details and come up with an integrated plan. And that's what we've been striving to do.
When you said you wanted a third party, what were you thinking when you said that? Like a different lawyer to look at, or somebody who has more experience?
I think somebody's in the queue ahead of you. I don't mean to be a false follower, but I think Everett has been hoping to speak for a little while, and I know I would like to,
I'd
love to answer.
Well, you know, I started going to the steering committee meetings, just attending them as an observer in August, I think it was, and I was very encouraged by the meetings. It felt like people were pulling all together in one direction, and I went most recently to another steering committee. I attended the meetings in between, and most recently, even after all this hubbub, the sense that I have is the same, if not even more so, that people are still pulling strongly in the same direction. And so I'm encouraged by that. And having said that, I do feel that the ILA, that there are a number of hesitations that I had with it, but I think that one of the biggest faults was that it suddenly sprang into existence and all sorts of people just didn't really understand where it came about, including the voters, the people, the volunteers that volunteer in EMS, fire volunteers, all kinds of people. What the heck? Who am I working for? PR was not being done. The education of people, whether it was a good agreement or not, didn't matter if you didn't do the footwork of educating the people. And in that respect, it was by far rushed. It may have been rushed in content, but it was definitely rushed in delivery. and I think that was a reason not to pass it. I wish the hospital board hadn't passed it because they hadn't done due diligence, which was to tell everybody what they were doing. So I'm delighted that the fire district decided to hold off, and I believe that we will all work together, that everybody has always, actually, the previous hospital board and the fire district have always had the interest of the people of San Juan at heart, and that we're moving in the right direction and will continue to do so. And so I'm really looking forward to getting down and dirty and being supportive of the people who know what's going on and getting educated and being contributing to that. So that's my view on where we are, and I hope where we're going.
Thank you.
I don't know, am I in the queue?
Sure.
My heart's desire would be that we would have Chief Collins, Chief Kutzing, our fire commissioners, and public hospital district commissioners together to talk, to, you know, lay out a roadmap, and just have a great dialogue about all these concerns that have been expressed, and, you know, to really create that map, because it's like, yes, we at one time had fire and EMS together in its infancy, and then it split apart. But we now are creating, we are going down the road and we don't have a clear roadmap. And I'm a map person. And I would love to have a map and to create this path and this journey that we're going on and how we're going to, you know, do this together. Because I feel really confident, I feel really good about, you know, the fact that, you know, the fire commissioners and you, Chief Collins, have said, yes, let's just hold off on, you know, the ILA and all work together in total openness, and that I just think it would be phenomenal to have all of us together, you know, sooner than later, myself. So, thank you. Yeah.
Can we do that? How would that work?
I don't know.
We can hold a joint meeting.
Okay. And then you'd want the Integration Steering Committee there too, right? Or not? Because they're
would do preparatory work with the ISC to make something
an
like
ISC?
That happen. Oh, the Integration Steering Committee.
Thank you.
Oh, boy.
And just for clarification, basically, if you have a joint board meeting, include Chief Collins and myself, mm-hmm. the only other member of the steering committee is Duncan Wilson.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, then so we need to bring Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. We want the town.
I think that's a great idea. I think before that happens, we probably need to have a couple integration steering committee meetings and have an official board meeting with our five members, come up with a game plan, some talking points, some next steps. I don't want to devalue the work that has already happened, because a lot has happened, and right. I don't believe that there isn't any value in the ILA. I just personally feel that there are a few things that need to happen ahead of any sort of signing, and that's what I've said all along. One of the things I would really like to do, and maybe this is something that the two commissioners on the steering committee do, or if we have a quality assurance group, is that meeting with your staff, and that's something that you and I have talked about. Just having some positive interactions between the commissioners and the staff, which is now 56 people that work here at EMS.
I do have just a couple of other things. Just to follow up, I think I'm sensitive to the idea that you want to have some certainty around what's happening. I think that's what I'm hearing, and that's one of the things that interlocal agreement would have provided, or did provide, although it was ambiguous enough that there wasn't that much certainty to it. There was a lot that could or couldn't happen to it. and it did change quite a bit over time. But so here, sorry, I digress, but my question for you is, what would that look like given where we are here today? Because I'm happy to take some sort of action that shows our support for that process moving forward as the new commissioner sitting here today. You know, I don't know if it's a memorandum of understanding that would take some time maybe to put together. To be really honest, my concern was that at the end, a lot of the duties that initially had been delegated to the fire district to go with that $30,000 price tag had been removed. And so that when I say I don't see value, I was saying there wasn't that level of oversight that was going to be transferred, which had some thorny issues associated with that. But the same amount of money was still going to be transferred. And so I was concerned about that. That was kind of my primary concern there. I'm not that concerned with the tasks that were identified that would be done, and that included you in quite a few of those, but also for Chief Collins there as well, and that going forward, and having you two work together on those. I'm not at all concerned about the groups working on those together. So my question, again, for you is, do you want, could we give you a show of support tonight that would be helpful, that some sort of motion or something like that? Obviously, a memorandum of understanding would take more time than just tonight, but that's my question.
We could certainly send a letter to the Fire Commission as our board, indicating our support.
You can't take action or anything tonight.
We're not taking action. I would defer to Ethan as our
resident guru as far as procedure.
Okay. Well, you can write a letter, right?
We were joking about that earlier. You picked the least important person to clarify the rules. Because then you can overrule them if they want.
That was not from me. That was from Nathan himself. His role with...
Give us a line. It's very important.
I would be afraid to overrule.
Yeah.
I suggest but do.
He's like...
Oh, boy. You guys can definitely... Sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead, please.
But, I mean, you guys could definitely, suggest that... You know, a letter be put together to review at the next board meeting, or something short of action along those lines that moves you towards where you want to be.
I like that idea.
I do too.
Is there any more discussion on this topic?
Who's going to write the letter?
Oh, usually we leave that up to them and we approve it.
It'd probably be Carl.
You have to, tell you who you want to write the letter.
Why don't I, offline, we'll get together as our chair pro temp, and we'll get some ideas, and we'll try to get something drafted for you all who are going to come the next board meeting.
Sounds great. Okay. And is that it for this time? Does anyone in the public care to say anything at this time? Very quiet out there. Okay, that's unusual. Thank you all for attending, and this wraps up our PhD meeting, and thanks for bearing with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.